Shanti, and good morning to everybody. So today is a very special day because we have Brother Bridge Mahan with us, just off the press from Delhi. And how many of you do not know Bridge Mahan? Is there anyone here who does not? Most of you do, just a few. Very good. You know, he's the editor of Purity and the educational wing and many other things. And he's been with Baba for 62 years. And before that, he was a lawyer, an attorney. And he still is. He's Baba's attorney now, right? And one thing I really appreciate about you, Bridge Mahan, is your intellect, the way you weave knowledge into stories and make things very practical. But the thing I remember most about you is when I was first trip to India, and we went to Pandavabhavan, where you stay, or did stay, and you had a very important special public program. And our vehicle came to pick us up, and you know what it was? A rickshaw. And I had never been into a rickshaw. And so we got in this rickshaw and went to this public program. Do you still ride in rickshaws? You do not.
Sometimes.
So I'd like to welcome you, though, from the heart. And Meredith is going to interview Brother Bridge Mahan. And Meredith has worked in television for almost 40 years. She had her own show, and she did interviews. Om Shanti. Enjoy. And again, those from the back, come to the front. The mosquitoes are coming all to the back. We're sending them there.
Welcome, everyone. And I just wanted to add that I've been a, I don't want to say follower, we don't have followers in Raja Yoga, right, but a great admirer of the work that Bridge Mahan has done for over 60 years, right? Over 60 years. And I know, I told him before the program here that whenever I'm about to do a workshop or anything to do with, you know, with Raja Yoga, I immediately turn to, I have a collection of his magazines, of the Purity magazines over years, and I turn to that and I go, now I'll get an idea. This is something that I can use for whatever it is I'm doing, and it makes it quite easy for me, it really does. So today we want to focus on spirituality and how it really helps in our lives. And that's my first question to you. You know, especially in America, and I think it's probably all over the world. Can you hear what, maybe a little better like this? Okay. In America, and I'm sure in every country, this word has become like the buzzword over the last few years. Spirituality this, spirituality that. I drove on, where I live in Miami, Florida, in the United States, and I actually drove by a beauty parlor just happened to be on the street that I was driving on, and it was like meditation classes in a beauty parlor of all places. So, I mean, it's everywhere. So I was wondering, what is it that spirituality can do for people? And how can it help on a personal, experiential level?
Om Shanti. First of all, I would like to welcome and thank so many brothers and sisters from so far away meeting, giving me opportunity to meet at one place. Supposing I had to go to their countries, how much time and other things, visa, passport, I would have taken, huh? Mm-hmm. But I am very happy that Baba has made this airport where all flights come, and we can just welcome all of you. So first of all, it is a joy to meet my brothers and sisters from seven seas across. I always give option to our people, programmers, that let me attend the class of double foreigners. Although there is a lot of activity going on there, but that is still Bharat. We can meet them again. But here, many of them after 5,000 years for the first time, and others Again, 5,000 years meeting, it's a very great joy. Now, the question was on spirituality. Yes. So, not taking much of the time in discussing about what spirituality means in the world today, I will come straight to the subject. Spirituality, in fact, is something fantastic. It totally changes your paradigm and your entire outlook to life. Spirituality is the only way to make anything permanent. Otherwise, all things in the world are transient and temporary. It is the only way to experience something. One is to understand something like window shopping, but to really experience anything in life, you need to understand spirituality. Otherwise, it is all superfluous. Thirdly, it is the easiest way to attain anything, because any path or method which involves some difficulty or labor is not the right path. There is only one right path in the world, and that is the easiest. You understand
I
say? So it is, they say truth is stranger than fiction. So it is so easy, people cannot even comprehend. Then, you know, it can make you to magically achieve anything than a person desires in the world. So this is how I am describing from my heart what is my experience of spirituality. It entirely changes your life.
So you're saying then that spirituality is really, it's this experience that is no struggle. There shouldn't be a struggle involved. If there is a struggle, then there's something that's not right with the way that somebody might be going through the knowledge and understanding and living in truth.
See, when people talk that a spiritual person, a good person, finally goes to paradise, So can you imagine there will be any struggle in the paradise or any work or no? So why not experience it now and here, you see? Because once we experience it, you are already in paradise here.
I think it was a few weeks ago in a Murli, Brother Bridge Mahan, that Baba said, if you're not happy these days and you're not really experiencing happiness, then why are you a Brahmin?
Yes. Achcha. So, next question?
So, that's the term, easy Raja Yoga, right? So we come with this hope and this aim that it's going to be easy for us. And it's not always so easy, though. Something gets in the way. And I was wondering if maybe you could expand a little bit on what it is that, you know, it is ultimately easy, and yet there are these moments in our Brahmin life, and probably more so as we go further along in our Brahmin life sometimes, that it becomes difficult. So what is it that goes on inside us that creates that?
Number one, spirituality is not a matter of individuals. It is the whole society. Once upon a time, the whole society was spiritual. So all were happy. Because in the original state, everything is new and right. Only when it gets deviated or you use something, then it tends to become from new to old. Today, we are thinking as if spirituality is something very different, somewhere outside to be acquired. Basic thing is, spirituality says that one single mistake or error, or in many religions they call it, which changes people from, throws them from paradise to hell. basic, some mistake. And that we have done, and since then we are in trouble. And that is, we have started in thinking the resources, our resources, to be the source of joy. Actually, they are only resources. The user of the resources, we have confused resource itself to be the user of the resources. Let me clarify. Money is a resource. Your educational qualification is a resource. Health is a resource. All things are resources. And the first resource is this body. Body.
The body, yeah.
Now, people have, they know others are, other things are resources, but they don't think this is also a resource. Mm-hmm. And this they have started confusing as the user of the resource, I. So when we consider my to be I, the first primary resource, which is my to be I, then the whole trouble starts. And then nobody can really, they may be moving around, they may be having all the resources, but they are not really able to either enjoy or experience or feel the permanency of what they have got. They cannot do it. Because they can confuse with this one, and this one is mortal.
Well, I know personally when I came into the knowledge quite a few years ago, I did identify with, and I'm sure everybody else has too at some level, with if I was successful, if I was more successful, I would be happier. If I got this, if I got that, if it was the bigger whatever, the bigger promotion. And it was a big shock, you know, when I came to Raj Yoga to find out that isn't, I mean, it wasn't a shock in that I saw that it wasn't making me any happier, that I wasn't satisfied. And so is there a real...
You see, the basic thing is, who is the experiencer?
Mm-hmm.
If we understand who is the experiencer, then we can really experience. Unfortunately, or as the things are today, we feel my eyes are experiencing good visions. My ears are experiencing good sounds. My tongue is experiencing good tastes, and so on. Now, these are only the resources. Supposing I lose my eyes, then what does it mean that I cannot experience sights? So basically, this body is mine. I don't call it I. I don't call it I, the I, my ear, my nose. But who is the I, who is the experiencer? Unless I identify with that, everything becomes superficial, temporary, false, and I only intellectually feel I am experiencing, I am not actually. Let me explain little more. Ask anyone here, what do we really seek in life, in one word, only in one word. Supposing I ask you, what you really seek in life, can you tell in one word what you seek?
I think we see what we, how we've decided life.
Seek.
One word. Oh, what do we seek? Oh,
yeah,
sorry, what
right.
Do we seek? I think happiness, fulfillment.
Happiness.
Fulfillment. Meaning.
Huh?
Meaning in life. No.
Happiness. Really, you really seek in life in one word, if you have to describe,
happiness.
You will say happiness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does everybody agree?
No. Wait.
Okay.
Many people may be seeking differently. Okay. Ask any of them to, if they need anything other than happiness. If someone is seeking something else. Peace.
Mm-hmm.
So peace is the second thing most people require.
Peace.
Anything else?
Love.
Okay. One more sample. Security. They are saying security.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you cannot secure anything unless you are spiritual. And if you know where to secure, nobody can take away anything from you which you store in yourself, the being. Nobody can rob you of anything. And also, outer things are only a manifestation of the qualities that are inside of you. So important thing is to keep the qualities or the outside things. That's the basic thing. Now, taking what you said, happiness, peace, love, security. Is any of these a material or a physical experience or a spiritual experience? Happiness.
Well, it's definitely a spiritual experience, but we don't know that, do
no.
we often? I mean, we
if,
we test
if one leaves the body, can you experience happiness? Can the body experience happiness? The body?
Well,
if a dead body says, come and smile, what will you do?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's the spiritual, it's the soul that experiences the happiness, not the body. Right?
Peace.
Yeah.
Peace. Mm-hmm. Not peace of the graveyard, but the living, the real peace. Love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Security. Who wants to be secure and what is to be secured? Mm-hmm. So therefore, all these things, name anything, think of anything, any value, any quality, any characteristic, they are all non-physical, non-material, they are spiritual. Why so? Because the seeker, the experiencer itself is the spirit, the soul. Now you can see how important it is to really know and experience the soul.
So it's just about focusing on the soul, and yet the body does get in the way, doesn't it?
No. We are not competing the body with the soul.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to understand their complementary role.
Mm-hmm.
Here is an electric bulb and there is the electric power behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Which of the two is important? Which of the two is important?
What's behind it in order
behind
for the
it.
Power? Yeah.
Okay. Eyes are important, or the soul which is looking through the eyes is important. Eyes can be even transplanted. So the basic thing is, the soul uses the body. It is, body is the first primary resource of the soul, and all other things are connected with body only. Your relationships with the body, your assets with the body, your educational qualifications, your appointment letter of a job, everything is connected with the body.
Right.
But body is itself a resource. This we have forgotten. That is why we keep on collecting the resources, thinking that more money I have got, higher qualified I am better off. It is not so. Because unless the experiencer, and you understand I am the experiencer, you don't experience at all. You get into competition, you get into criticism, so many things, and whatever you gain also is lost.
But I think that is the challenge in spiritual life and BK life is to keep that consciousness of the soul.
Right.
I mean,
you are right, because even after knowing very well, being hammered every day that you are a soul, you are not the body, there is a tendency to instantly forget the soul and get into the body. The reason is, for long, long, long time, originally that was not so. It was soul using the body. Now it is body using the soul. Body has gone in the background. Soul the background. So therefore, if we do everything big and small, remembering that I am the soul doing, slowly and slowly you will start having that deep experience, and you will then need not remember that I am the soul, you will act like a soul. And that is why all this Brahma Kumari's topics of learning, then meditation, then telling others, all those things are actually aids to become like, you know, all the time that I am a soul functioning through the body, and what I should do, those are the later things. Take the example of Dadi Janki, for instance.
Yeah.
We will say that Dadi Janki, from morning to evening, even in her dreams, only is thinking she is the soul and she is performing actions through the body. So Baba says, even in your thoughts and dreams, because that is the subtlest level, one gets only dreams of really what is the utmost thing needed or desired. Similarly, thoughts. So, if you want to check your spirituality, practical spirituality, at least at the level of thoughts. So, okay, you can ask another question.
No,
okay.
Please,
so,
continue.
So, what I mean to say is that once I understand I am the soul using the body, my whole aim and object of life, after all you have some object in your life. Normally a person will have a worldly object, a businessman will like to become a bigger businessman, still big and so on. And he will die at some level of being a businessman. Over? Anyone doing anything. So therefore, basically you get into permanent experiences. Say happiness. You have talked of happiness. You want happiness. Do you want permanent happiness? Undisturbed, uninterrupted type of happiness, or fleeting happiness, short-lived experiences of happiness. That is your aim. Okay, you said in one word, I want happiness. Many of us want happiness. What type of happiness you want?
As you say, I'd like permanent happiness,
okay.
Right? I think, would you all agree? Would you all like that, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Where will you keep it? Supposing God grants you permanent happiness, where will you keep it?
Mm-hmm.
A permanent thing requires, someone said, security, lot of things. So it cannot be robbed away, it cannot be reduced. Where will you keep it? That is the question.
Well, I think that we're all... That's why we're here, right? I think probably this is what... I think everybody has a different reason for coming to the Brahma Kumaris.
If you buy it outside a thick coconut and wants to keep it in a paper bag, what will happen?
Yeah, it won't be used,
yes.
Right?
So now here you are, or here all of us are. Where will you keep happiness? Tell me. In your eyes, in your ears, in your legs, in your mind, wherever. So ask anyone, let us see what they say.
Let's hear. What? The soul.
What they say?
In the soul? Is that? Yeah. In the soul. Someone else said something else.
Thinking. Thinking.
In your thinking, in your thoughts.
Oh, okay,
keep the
okay.
Happiness. Yeah.
So. In Canada, some Indian farmers, rich farmers, went there, tourists. They went to a university. So the students were making some experiments, science experiment. So those people asked, what you are experimenting on? So the student said, we are trying to develop a liquid in which everything will get dissolved. Such a liquid which will dissolve everything. So now those were innocent farmers. They just asked, where will you keep that liquid? You see?
Yeah.
So they were doing very nice thing. But the basic thing is, where will you keep it?
What would you do with it?
So therefore, the question of happiness is very much there. Some of them said in the thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is our thinking so secure, so foolproof, that no adulteration will come into it, no leakage will come into it, no mixture will come into it, then I can assure them permanent happiness in thinking right now, provided these things do not occur. Ask them.
Mm-hmm.
In your thinking, what do you have in your thinking? I seek happiness in my thinking. What I will do, I will put only happiness in my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I seek money in my pocket, I will only put money, not other things. Mm-hmm. So therefore, when we know, other things you leave, hands, legs you leave. In our thinking, we want happiness. Now, what stops us from collecting happiness and happiness only in our thinking and nothing else? What are the other things that enter?
That prevent it? Prevent the happiness from
staying? No, they enter and they spoil. Even if you collect all through the day a bit of happiness and very preciously store in your mind, intellect, thinking, what is it that does not allow it to remain? To remain like happiness, only give out happiness only, what happens in between? That is the question.
What? Life? Life gets in the way, I think.
Huh?
I don't know. For me, it's life. Something happens and all of a sudden the happiness just drops, right? Listen.
No, thing is, once I know, I don't have to use dirty water, okay? I want fresh water. So I have collected some fresh water. First of all, I will take care that it doesn't get into my dirty water. That is sanskar. Even the fresh water that I collect, does it remain fresh or like to pure happiness or something gets wrong? Otherwise, even a bit of, like a jewel is very valuable. So a bit of happiness will take you along very nicely all through the day. What happens?
Well, all of a sudden it gets lost. Something no. Just disappears.
In our thinking.
Yeah.
You see, the happiness gets mixed into certain other things. Say you have really a diamond ring. But it falls into a heap of rubbish. Then what will you do? You can neither leave the ring nor you want to put your hand in the rubbish. So this is the situation today. Our thinking, it gets influenced by outside influences. I am quite happy. Other people do not want to be happy. They do something to me, say insult me, they say, you are artificially happy, so anything they can do. Supposing they cause you insult, then will you be able to retain that happiness or get influenced by insult and trying to take revenge from that person or try to stop that person? So basically, Baba has said, wasteful thinking is 85%. Thinking of the past and the future, add another percentage. Thinking of unrelated things, put that into it. Apprehensions, fears, worries, all those things, lot of thinking takes place in that. And that poor little happiness lies in the corner, gets diluted, then gets evaporated. Next day you start again to collect happiness. So what is the solution to that?
What?
There's a
microphone
here for the audience.
Okay.
Okay. Nice.
Great. If anybody wants to come up and share something, that's great.
They can tell about happiness,
yes,
by smiling. It's
right, right.
Oh, no problem, huh? Okay.
Yes. So you're saying that we have this pure something called happiness.
Yes.
And it's, you know, kept, if we kept it in a beautiful jar and we protected it,
yes,
but we don't protect it. We let things, whatever's going on, we suddenly let it. It's almost as if we just like
even,
forget.
Even
forget,
someone, if one someone and tries to enter your room or apartment,
right,
you first inquire, who are you,
mm-hmm,
whether it's a wanted person or unwanted person,
mm-hmm,
or a dirty animal trying to enter. So we have some sort of check at the door of our house. Okay. Even for our eyes, if we see something, dust is coming, we close our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But what about thinking?
Hmm.
What protection we have kept to save what we want to retain in the thinking, or all the doors and windows open, any storm can come in and disturb our happiness. That is the question.
So the question is really, to me, is that we need to be able to be protecting ourselves all the time, you know, not just sometimes, not just when we've, you know, heard them early, we've come to class, and often Baba says, you know, you're great, you're flying when you're in class, and then you leave, and then everything breaks loose, right? All the negativity just sort of swarms
into
our lives.
And the only protection, all-time protection, only be natural and easy. If something is not natural, the right thing, or easy, you cannot have total protection. There will be loss of attention. So if you want anything you are having, even I am having anger, it is because it is natural and easy for me to get angry. Similarly, if I want to change into mercy, for example, the mercy should be then natural and easy for me all the time. I can't keep a watch on it, just as people say, think before you speak. Now, is it possible that every time you speak, you first think? It's not possible. So it has to be natural.
Sure.
That's the thing.
I love what you're saying, because natural is what people are seeking today. Everything is natural. In fact, they were saying that so many of the advertisements are, it's false. You know, they're saying natural foods, natural this. And I know that a lot of consumer protection agencies, I don't know, all over the world, are saying that you have to be able to show that it's really natural.
The first thing that people are able to sell naturals, it means that all people know that they are using unnatural. Whether that natural is real or fake is secondary. Secondly, this word natural comes from nature. So these days, because people are thinking only of bodies and bodily foods and bodily sights, so they think natural to be products of nature, undisturbed, or minimum disturbed by the human action. Okay. But the real word nature is, which nature affects this nature? Which nature has caused pollution of the air? Which nature has caused pollution of the water? It is the pollution of the mind. That is the thinking. So first we have to make that nature, our nature, pure, so that our happiness or peace or love can be naturally flowing out. No question of anything coming and disturbing or taking away. So that will also reflect on the whole universe. This is the Brahma Kumari's philosophy. I told you, it is not a matter of individual. It's a matter of whole society of today. Kuch kehna chahte hain?
No, Om Shanti. What we're thinking, where the thinking come from, if we ask ourselves, where our thoughts come from, and that thinking coming from your mind, if his mind is contaminated with a cloud, it doesn't shine. The mind itself is like shining star. Now, if the shining star is clean, it reflect more and create a more pure thought. But if it is contaminated, it can be diluted, and effect is wrong.
Very
That's
good.
What I'm trying to say.
See, brother says, thinking comes from the mind. Okay? What is mind? Some people, a person asked another one, what is mind? The reply was, how does it matter? And then he says, what is matter? Never mind. You see?
Yeah.
The thing is, mind is the name given. There is no such thing as mind in the body. And heart is, of course, here. But where is mind? Can anybody see or tell where mind is? No. Mind is the name given to the thinking faculty of the soul. And even if you have nothing to think, mind will keep on thinking, because the eyes, as you open, they will keep on seeing. Ears, of course, have no door, they will keep on listening. Similarly, mind is the thinking, it keeps on thinking incessantly. Nobody makes it think. Its job is to think, just as the job of light bulb is to give light, it keep on giving light. So it keeps on, nobody can stop thinking of the mind. if you want to experiment, even for 10 minutes, 10 seconds, okay, let everyone try not to think. For 10 seconds only. 10 seconds is just 1, 2, 3, 4, 10. Okay.
Can I say one thing?
Before, no, first you,
let's do, our,
do the experiment.
Experiment first.
Do the experiment right. yourself.
Okay.
Over. So, ask anyone. But they were not to think. Ask anyone. Same brother. Haji. See,
yeah.
I am thinking not to think. I am still thinking. For 10 seconds I am holding on to the thought that I won't think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a thought. So why not accept it, what is natural, that its mind is to think. Okay. Now the question is, what should it think? And what should it not think? That is the question. So how to control that?
I was on a plane a couple of weeks ago, and I happened to be sitting next to a pilot who was going back. Obviously, he wasn't working. And I told him I was going to India. He loved to travel all over the world, not just for his work. And I told him about meditation. He said, I've tried meditation. He says, but I just can't stop my thinking. He says, so I really don't think I can meditate. And when I explained to him that with what we do is it's not stopping your thinking, he was very intrigued.
To think, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, if we put it in a nutshell, you will be able to be really happy, loveful, peaceful, as the situation may require. Because happiness is a very wide statement. Happiness means in adverse situations also you should be comfortable. Okay? Happiness means you should not be feeling any type of discomfort, uneasiness under any situation. So this is what happiness means. Not that only good things, there is a bed of roses and I am happy, no. So it's a wide statement. How happiness can come? So meditation, what Baba has taught us is, taking the mind, your thought, to wherever you want, at will, for as long as you want, and also to bring it back. If I have that control, that I can take my thought to wherever I want, whenever I want, and for as long as I want, and bring it back, then you have succeeded in covering all situations. You will never be unhappy because you have control over your thought. You will not allow your thought to go anywhere which is not giving you happiness or increasing your happiness. And as soon as you find no, then you can draw it and take to another place. So what meditation is, to understand, first of all, it is not a only one period job that I am thinking of my present only. It requires understanding of the soul. First of all, I am. And this is my secondary thing. You can be happy without even moving your finger. No body use is required. It doesn't require any good food only to be happy. A person lying on deathbed can also be happy. Because it is a super sensual thing. I have already told you, all our real experiences are super sensual. They don't require any senses at all. Senses we use only to add to it and to give other people also the experience. Otherwise, within yourself, Baba, you are loveful. Originally, you are loveful. That is why we like to get love back, because somewhere we have lost it. Originally, you are happy. But because we have lost happiness, so we are trying to think how to keep it, bring it back. So all those things are, so basically, if one understands, you know, incomplete knowledge will only give you incomplete happiness.
So at every moment, from what I'm hearing from you, it requires control.
No, that is the method. But this method can only be used You know, supposing you have come from a particular country here. You very well know that I can be here only for some time. You know? You know where you will go back. Then, and what you are there, not what you are here. Then you have got some idea how much connection, how much contact I should have here. You will not try to buy property here because you have to go back. Similarly, the basic thing is that because we have identified with this temporary role of ours, this is definitely a temporary role because the costume itself is temporary. I and you cannot keep this body forever, nor we had it so many years before. You know, my body's age is 84 years. 84 years before, I didn't have this name, nothing at all. And after some time, maybe after 1 hour, but after some time, I am surely not going to have it. It means I am temporarily in this costume. What a tragedy that a person knows that this boat is going to sink and he still put everything in that boat which is going to sink. So you have to have a separate type of attitude. Just as you know, I don't belong to Mount Abu. So you have a different attitude to Mount Abu. I also say I don't belong to this world for long. So I have to have my permanent address, permanent entity different from this. What a cinema actor does, a film star, you know, hero actor. He doesn't perform only good roles, that he is always the king. He also performs ordinary roles, like a porter, maybe a patient, maybe a prisoner, maybe a doctor, different roles. He is a hero actor. And people applaud that actor because he performed that role better than the real person. He will become a prisoner than a real prisoner because he is an actor. Now tell me, what does he get more money if he plays a doctor and less money if he plays a patient, or the same money?
The same money.
Give him any role, even of a sweeper, he will have the same money. Okay, no problem. He doesn't bother whether he's made a king or a sweeper, he is getting his money. Leave aside money. Appreciation, applause. Does he get more if he is a king and less if he is a pauper? No. Same. So if an actor can get the same emolument and appreciation, can't we get in any role also? Why should I think that this role will give me more happiness and this will... It's a question of how you do it, really. Secondly, does he ever feel really that he is the king or he is the beggar? No. He knows I am a different person. I live elsewhere. I have different personality, different entity altogether. So he plays the role. Here the problem is, because missing the spirituality, missing the one who is the performer, we have identified with the act role. And that is the root cause of all troubles.
But we should be, I'm thinking, should we be appreciating our role that we have in this lifetime? Because
if I play my role best, not criticizing my role or thinking the other person's role is better, this problem can be solved. As soon as you go into competition, that no, this role is better by illusion, then you will be always in trouble. Whatever you may do, you may become the president of a country, still you will think for how long I should be also made lifelong president and so on. How much life is there after all? That is also a very short-lived approach.
So should we be keeping the consciousness all the time that, you know, this is temporary and that anything can happen at any moment? I mean, that can be a little something that can cause, I don't want to say fear.
Unless you have got proper understanding of your permanency, this will cause you more fear.
Right.
What I have got, I am going to lose. No.
Yeah.
You must have the basic thing that I can acquire this anytime as per my qualification. An actor, he gets a role, but he is confident that because of his qualification and experience and popularity, this role doesn't matter. He will get a better role and still more and more. So because he understands that, he is able to play it very neutrally, impartially, and to the best of his ability.
And he is, I mean, it's interesting that you're using this example, because it is interesting. I would think that actors, if there are any actors out there in real life,
all are, we are real.
You would be able to move from one role to another so quickly.
We are real life actors. Those are only temporary actors. But because we do not know our permanent entity, our permanent address, that I am the performer, I start taking my costume to be myself, the tragedy will arise. You will find a person doesn't remain young all the life. A person doesn't remain physically fit all the life. And then he start thinking, oh, that was good. But the soul is never young, never old, and it has got its own grace and charm in every sphere of life. If I am an old person, if I behave like an old person, I will be very happy. But unfortunately, old people want to try to behave like young. The trouble arises. The whole industry is there, cosmetic industry, to fool them, and they get fooled also every day. This is the problem. Now these flowers are artificial. Everyone knows it is artificial. It gives you no fragrance, nothing, no joy, no freshness. But we do it. Now even the bouquets have come of artificial flowers, so that a person can take to his home and keep it for long. The whole artificiality. And it begins with treating my resource, number one, to be myself. So the problem can be solved to start with if I treat that this is only my resource, I am different. And as you go on experience, the path will become easy and easy, and without any effort, you can within yourself generate love, happiness, anything you want. You can retain it, you can share it, because this type of sharing does not make you lose anything. This knowledge is such, anything that we have got, if we share, it grows. It doesn't. You don't lose. Otherwise, if you share your dress with anyone, you will have one dress short. This is not that type of business. It is win-win-win-win business. Supposing you share knowledge with anyone, do you lose your own knowledge?
Never. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It really is.
Supposing you share your happiness, do you lose your happiness? So right. This is such a business. It is a wonder. Spirituality is a wonderful thing, because it is like magic. Again, I will say it is fantastic.
So maybe we should change the term. Instead of easy Raj Yoga, maybe magical Raj Yoga, more people in the world will be attracted to, easy is good and magic to me is better. And it is magical, isn't it? It's a magical
way of life. I will tell you another thing. Yeah. All the things that we seek, all 4 or 5 they have mentioned, they are not the real things to be sought. They are lower things to be sought. Why? Happiness. Happiness has an antonym. What is the opposite of happiness? What is the opposite of happiness?
Antonym. Sorrow, sadness.
Huh?
Sorrow, the
okay.
opposite?
Okay. Sorrow or unhappiness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love. What is the opposite of love?
Hate.
Hatred.
Hatred, yeah.
Peace. What is the opposite of peace?
Peacelessness.
Okay.
Right.
Security. What is the opposite of security? Insecurity.
Insecurity, yeah.
But there is something which has no antonym, and that is bliss. Bliss. The being is blissful. All other things are lower. You understand?
Yes.
So, if we get into our own being, understand and strive to live and experience, you become blissful. And bliss has no antonym at all. That is really we are. So when we come down, we even are searching for peace, we are getting peace prizes. Brahma Kumaris have got 9 peace prizes, everyone, no peace is established. Normally the prize is given only on achievement. Here it is given just for trying. You try to establish peace, you get a prize.
Mm-hmm.
Such is situation we have come to.
Is there anyone in the world offering bliss, though? I don't hear that it is. People talk about peace.
They do not know where bliss lies. It is within them. How can they offer? Those who are seeking happiness or love, how can they can't even dream of bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Because bliss doesn't require any outside aid at all. And bliss is outflowing. Okay.
Do you feel that it's possible to live bliss all the time? Should we be going for that? How about just a blissful life, right?
This is the reality. The basic thing is, me, the soul, is blissful. Daddy always talk, bliss, blessing, balance, they talk. That if you lead a balanced life, then you get blessing, then blessing gives you bliss. Bliss is your own actual entity, but you can enhance your bliss by getting blessings. Mm-hmm. Blessings is something which is intangible. Thanks or something or giving and taking is not, that is lower things. Blessing. And your blessing you only earn when you do something human, something humane to the people without any expectation of return. We say human being. These days human has become forefront, being has gone in the background, and all the education, knowledge, progress and all the betterment we talk of, either of individual or the world, is of the human. And human is this, which is going very short lived. The being which took this human and which will still be there to take this human, which contains all the qualities of this human. Whatever qualities, talents I learn, where do they go? They go in the being. So being can be poorer or richer by depending upon what it is acquiring and what it is losing. So therefore, if we bring the being first, then we will be being human. We become humans. You understand? One is human being. The other, being human, really humane. And that will earn you blessing. This is what Brahma Kumaris are doing. We are not distributing clothes or money or this. We are telling people that what you are, if you just understand and become that and experience that, you are the most blessed person in the world. So blessing is being blissful. Okay?
I think that's why we're all here, and we continue to be here, right? And yet, Brother Brij Mohan, we were in a workshop, some of us. How many of you were in the Healing the Self workshop and Healing the World workshop the other day, for the last few days? It was a wonderful workshop, but it was very intense, where we were really asked to explore what's going on inside and challenges that we were having, right? Would you agree? And a lot of things came up for Brahmins, you know, a lot of things to do with health problems and situations in life. And the question really came up was, how can we move past this? You know, how can we move past some of the...
Supposing there is a doctor, very popular doctor, good doctor. Mm-hmm. He's attending the patients, getting his fees.
Right.
Supposing he attends just one patient as a human being, patient cannot afford, he treats him without fees. Will his joy be better or his fees earning be better? Mm-hmm. What will he feel inside?
Well, he will feel the same if there's no...
No,
he won't.
If he treats a poor patient without charging any fees,
right,
because the patient is needy,
right,
he will get bliss.
Oh, he'll feel better for...
He will get bliss.
I understand.
Other thing, you get only money, but here he will get bliss. Anyone can earn bliss by doing what you call kindness, mercy. Mm-hmm. Old lady wants to cross the road. She says, please help me. You say, no, I am busy. But if you make it do, you will get bliss. So this is the bliss. Our being part has kindness, mercy, compassion, love, all those things. The human part misuses them, because we have wrongly identified ourselves with the resources. These resources can easily be acquired, and even with resources you can be miserable, and even without resources you can be happy. This is what spirituality tells us.
It's listening to you, and whether it's daddies or seniors, it feels so simple when we're here. You know, it seems so simple and it makes so much sense. And what I'm taking from you, though, is it really
all,
does require
all good things are simple. They say simple living, high
simple.
Thinking.
It's
there is something in it. People have not tried simplicity. They unnecessarily go into complexities and get into trouble. First they get into them, then they get out of them, and the time is wasted.
So when you see Brahmins going through things, and you know you've seen them, I'm sure, and they are going through difficulties in life, or they're going through difficulties in centers even, is that your advice to them? Just stop right away, full stop?
You know, when you do a study, you have to pass through exams. What for the exams are to take you to the higher grade. So unless all these tests and things come, how can the soul really become powerful, powerfully blissful? You see, therefore these tests are there. They are nothing. Unless you pass through the test, you don't get higher grade, you don't get experience. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And something that you have not earned, that you have not really gone through, you can lose any time, because once you know it is precious, how I have got it, then you will keep it close to your heart. You won't allow it to go. For this experience, more and more is needed. Baba says there is no end to experience.
So is there no end to bliss as well?
I am going to tell, I have to end this conversation.
Yes.
I will give one takeaway. Everyone can easily, because this is only talk. But something everyone can practice easily if they keep attention. Ask them if they are interested in some single magical formula by which they can, if they pay attention only to that, nothing else, perhaps they can regain, or supposing they are getting losing something, they will get back. Ask them. If they are willing, I will tell.
Yes.
Because this is very this is a very precious formula, but I am giving it for free.
Om Shanti. Thank you, Brother Bridge Mahone.
Oh wait, we're about to get something very special right now.
What? The formula? Are you going to give him the formula? Okay.
Right now.
I thought you said that it was 12 o'clock.
Yeah. Magical formula.
Okay. Go ahead.
Just little. You know, the navigators keep a compass which can keep them on the proper route. So Baba says, my children have been for long considering themselves to be body, but now even if we understand to not to deviate and not to forget again and again, we must first of all remember, keep in mind Baba always. Just as the driver of a bus is very important, similarly, all the passengers are safe if the driver is okay. And our Baba is our guide, perfect guide. So we must remember Baba. So Baba will then touch us if we are trying to go wrong way. That is basic. But the formula is to protect your peace, happiness, love, bliss. The best thing is, they say, offense is the best defense. Don't try to protect, I will protect it from this and that. The formula is, it is well known, I am only repeating it. In your mind, be a well-wisher of all. In your mind, if we are always a well-wisher of first of all myself, these days we are not even our own well-wishers. Supposing I go to hospital, I will start thinking, oh, whether I will die or survive. This is not well-wishing. Be a well-wisher of all. What they are doing, doesn't matter to you. just as sun rises to give light. So similarly, any soul keeping Baba's memory so that one doesn't forget is a well-wisher of all. It is granted that their happiness, love, blessing, bliss, all will be preserved. It is up to you. Okay? Om Shanti. Om Shanti.
So now we can leave with the magic formula that we should write it down inside our heads, right? And keep it with us at all times.
Yes. So this is the takeaway of today.
What a takeaway.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming all the way from Delhi, right, to be with us today and to share your years and years of dedication, of experience, of commitment to the Brahmin life and the BK life. And
so I'm so happy.
It's a thrill to be here with you. Thank you. Do we have time for questions? Do we have time for any questions?
You can.
Are you okay with that? If anyone wants to ask a question. Well, I think they took the mic away, so I guess not.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let it be assimilated.